Tov, so we're up to, it's going to have to be our last class because it's end of the semester on dating. So we'll try to really speed through what we got to cover. There's a lot of important things. Yeah, we'll see what we can cover. You're all welcome to look at the other series. We have another 4 or 5 series on dating online. So on the first date, you're not trying to come to a conclusion, is this Mrs. Right? Nor are you trying to come to that conclusion on the second date. Things take time. Sometimes it takes people time to open up. You don't have to be quick to judge. One of the big mistakes that guys make is that they're offered a girl, and sometimes before the first date, sometimes after the first date, they get another offer. Now, on paper, the other offer looks great. Well, so did this offer look great on paper. You know, on paper, everyone looks great, or many people look great. and then they say, well, I'm dating her, and I don't know. I don't know where it's going yet. But this other girl looks really great. And then they dump the first girl, go for the second girl. And then they go on that date with that second girl, only to discover after the first date that, hey, I'm not sure. We had a guy at the Machon who used to tell me he dated an average of 2 to 3 girls a day. This guy was really skilled. He would date a girl in the morning, go to work, and then the afternoon break, he'd go out and date another girl.
And serious learner on the side.
Serious learner on the side, right. He'd come here and learn in the, you know, he'd have short 2-hour dates. And he was quick decisions. He dated hundreds of girls before he got married. He actually did get married. I was at his wedding, and I was like wondering, you know, what makes this one different after all the hundreds? I don't know. True, she was a foreigner, European, just landed here, didn't speak the language. Oh, that went great. Okay, so we'll talk about that in a minute, about language barriers. But I'm just saying, I think you have to give focus. You're dating a girl, see how it goes. If the first date isn't great, you wait and see what happens on the second date. Second date isn't great, you wait and see. Meaning, you have to be more confident to say no than you have to be to say yes. When you're saying yes to another date. If it has potential, you're just not sure where it's going. So you wait, you give it a little bit more time. When you're saying no for life. You're saying, this is for sure not it. When you're saying yes, you're saying, let me see. I'm going to give it one more date. I'll see where it's holding. Yes.
First person you're going to see, you're not going to see till Thursday. Why can you not see a second person on Wednesday?
So we'll get there in a minute. Let's see. So point number one, I think you have to give things time. Things don't happen overnight, and don't confuse a question mark with an answer. Sometimes the fact that you have a question mark makes you decide this isn't for me. Whereas what you really should do is verify what's behind that question mark. You don't know. I told you guys the story about the girl who was preaching about how girls shouldn't marry a guy who's learning Torah, right?
No.
No? Okay, we go out on a date. I remember this one. I picked her up at the bottom, Kiryat Moshe and Herzl. We walked down to Gan Sacher, and the whole way there and back, meaning we did all of Gan Sacher and came back to the corner down here. And she's discussing one thing and one thing only, that she can't understand why the teachers tell the girls to marry a guy who's learning Torah. It's just not right. The girls don't realize what they're getting themselves into. And she doesn't understand it. And the girls are all going down a road. They don't know where it's going to lead to. They don't know the difficulties of that road. And I'm listening politely, nodding my head. And this is going on for 25 minutes. And, you know, we're having a conversation. But this is her point. Okay. After 25 minutes, I'm wondering, what are we doing on this date? I hope to continue learning Torah, and what's the point, you know? So I'm trying to think how to bring it up politely. You know, what am I supposed to say at this point? So I asked her, do you have a picture of what my aspirations are like, where I want to see myself, what I'm looking? So she said, yeah, sure, I heard you want to continue learning Torah. I said, and how does that work with everything you said until now? So she said, I didn't say anything about me. I want to marry a guy who's learning Torah. But I said there are so many girls out there who don't know what they're getting themselves into, that I don't think it's right that they're being led down a path that they don't know what they're getting themselves into. I did a lot of research. I think I do know what I'm getting myself into. Interesting, right? For 25 minutes, I couldn't figure out what she was telling me. She's entitled to her position, but where does that leave us? So a question mark is not an answer. Sometimes you hear something and you're just wondering what's going on here. So ask. Find a polite way and ask. And sometimes it'll take another date or two to verify. But you don't have to be quick to decide. Slowly. It takes time to learn a person. It took them 20 years to develop the personality that's coming to the date. You're not going to master it in a minute. You're not going to master it in a year. But if you want to understand it, it takes time. And the person shouldn't be quick to decide. The question was asked, what's wrong with dating two girls at once? So I didn't say there's necessarily something wrong with it. I just wonder how you would feel if you got up from a date and then you came back to the place to use the restroom and you saw her sitting down with another guy, smiling and laughing and joking and everything. And you had made up at the end of your first date that the date went really well. And you both agreed that it would be worthwhile to meet again on Tuesday. So you got up from the date Sunday afternoon feeling great. Okay, we hit it off. Seems like it has potential. And then you're on your way out and you realize, hey, I could use the restroom again. You go back and then you see, it takes you a few minutes. And then on your way out of the restroom, you see you're sitting there with another date. Seems like it's not even the first date, maybe the third date. So then you ask yourself, what's going on here? Is she like, are we creating something? Are we not? You know, you could say, well, she's entitled to date three people at once, just like I am. I mean, guys in the Machon have done that. I'm telling you, this Don Juan was dating. I'm telling you, he was dating back to back, and he wasn't telling the girls no so fast. I don't know how he juggled each one, but fine.
Well, not doing it on purpose, but sometimes I found myself in a situation where I'm going to see on the first date a week later, and in the meantime, I get an offer that night when I come back home on the website. I only have 3 days to respond.
I don't think it's the end of the world. I think there's a difference between doing it when you're on date number one and date number seven. I think there's a difference. But I think you're risking your reputation, because I think a girl might be hurt by it. And Murphy's Law, she will walk into that coffee shop while you're sitting with the other girl. It's up to you. You know, I don't think a person can say it's the worst ethical move in the world. I can understand sometimes you dated date one and it didn't seem too great. And this girl who you've been trying to be set up with for months now is finally available and responded positively. Now you're stuck. You just dated this girl. You're not sure where it's headed, but it didn't seem too great. So it's worth giving it a shot. It's worth giving it another date. But the other girl is something which you really thought was it. Yeah, that happened to me many times. Not once, not twice. I never dated two at the same time. I felt like In that realm, I have to leave it to Bitochon. They're bon shom's running it. I never felt like I should do something which can potentially hurt someone else's feelings, and that's what'll get me ahead in life. I don't know. But again, I don't think that you have to say that. I can hear that a person will say, at the end of the day, I feel like this makes more sense for me, so I don't want to say no to this girl. I already told her yes, but I don't want to miss out on the other girl. It's a tough call. I can't say it's wrong to do it. I can say I wouldn't recommend doing it. But I can hear if a person does it. I can respect that. I understand where it's coming from. And again, if it's after only one date, I think it's different than after more dates. So date number one, you're basically just trying to see if the conversation can go. You're talking about simple things. You don't have to go into the deepest thing in the world. What do you think about Aguda's position during the disengagement? You know, okay, it's a little complex. You have to understand what went on there. What do you think about who should be appointed to the chief rabbinate of Israel? I don't know if you got to go there at this point. I don't know if you ever have to go there. My wife and I never discussed it. But I think you do want to stay with simple things. You want to understand where she's coming from, what her family's life is like, how she grew up, what her perspective on life is, where she's been, where her family has been. Now, this can be a touchy subject, especially in the Chozer B'tshuva world. We had a guy here who told me, I'm going to come on the date and say, my brother's in jail for doing drugs. My sister, I don't want to discuss where she is at night. What am I supposed to say on the date? And I'm here, I did tshuva. Okay, good for him. So I could understand that that's not the topic of conversation in certain situations. If you are fortunate enough to be in a situation where that could be the topic of conversation, it's very positive. That should be the norm. I'm saying the normal scenario is that you get to understand where both of you came from. Now, that opens a Pandora's box, a question of what do you have to share from your past as a Chozer B'tshuva. I don't think you have to share the details of all the girlfriends you had. The assumption is that if you're a Chozer B'tshuva, you're not a virgin. If she's a Chozer B'tshuva, she's not a virgin. You don't have to discuss that. That's a given. There's no reason to assume differently. There's no reason to go into details about how many girlfriends you had and to what depth that relationship was. If you guys end up dating long-term and ends up being a long-term relationship, and then she comes around and asks you, hey, I'm just wondering, where you been in life? I think the correct answer is, it's not good for me or you to go there. It's something I'm trying to forget. I don't want to bring it back. Unfortunately, I did not live the pure life I should have led from the beginning, but it's something I'm trying to forget. I think it'll be hurtful to both of us if we try to go down that path and figure out what was. What I can tell you is what I want should be. And in that way, move forward. You're not denying there was a past, but it's in everyone's interest to leave it behind you. And this is true post-marriage too. Now sometimes a guy feels like, she doesn't know me, if she doesn't understand that I had a girlfriend for 15 years, and then we did an abortion, and we thought we'd get married, and look, I can't argue with you. I can only say that usually it brings about a lot of pain, and it doesn't resolve anything. It's not like she understands you better. She might not like you as much, but I don't see that she understands you better for it. I don't think that's the route to go. I think that a woman will sometimes be very curious. A woman will sometimes pick at you and say, come on, how many girlfriends did you really have? Tell me, am I as pretty as all your girlfriends? I'm saying, so you got to be a gentleman. You're like, come on, I can't remember any of them when I stand next to you. As pretty? What are you talking about? Okay, you got to be able to say it with a straight face. Okay, don't do like me. And if you have a hard time doing it, run to the bathroom and say it from there. But whatever, you have to be able to get around it. It's not positive. And very often it can be tremendously destructive. You have to move forward from that. That shouldn't hold you up. At the same time, you have to move forward from that when you're entering the dating scene. You can't have friends on Facebook, which are your ex-girlfriend and stuff like that, and then you're going out on the date. You know, guys sometimes go out and they have pictures of them with their hand around a girl. Now, the girl he's dating now goes on his Facebook and sees him hugging a girl. Who's that? So now what are you going to do?
And you just kind of said, you don't want to know all her background either.
Right, that's a good point. I think it's recommended you not know her background, but
to that degree.
I personally, if I'm ever involved in a shidduch, if I have any 2 cents to put in, I insist that every guy and every girl gets tested for STDs, for herpes,
that's
for...
Totally details of who
I understand,
who
I understand.
That's just common... That's an extension of Pesach, but in a more Balturish way.
I think that a person...
Common sense.
Yeah, but people like to bury their head in the sand. So
right.
I'm saying...
I guess you're right, but I think what you're saying is just common sense.
Both sides have to get tested, and I insist that a third party sees the results. Meaning, not that you take someone's word for it. There has to be... a situation where her teacher has seen her results, your teacher see your results. Not a, you don't want to show the results, fine, but you're pleading guilty then.
I've seen it before, I'm sure. But why people would lie when it comes out later? I mean, who's going to study that? You said in the very first class I went to here, trust is the number one thing. So if you're starting built on a lie, it's quicksand, I would think.
Yeah, but it's hard. When you like a girl and you think she's your future and you're scared if she'll know about your past. You know, guys sometimes walk around for months wondering, how am I going to tell her about my tattoos? She's going to find out. But the guy is wondering, what am I going to do? How am I going to share it with her?
But
something, I guess it's something you convince yourself you could actually hide forever. That's deceitful, but that I can sort of see someone as your case thinking of. But something that you can.
What's the solution to that?
I think that a person can tell her. It depends a little bit, but let's get back then 1 second. Remind me, but David's been waiting. So yeah.
On the subject, what you're saying on Dori Sharim.
Let's discuss that offline.
I don't even know what that means.
Okay.
What's that?
Let's discuss it off the record.
Okay.
Not up here. As far as if a person has tattoos, so that again takes us to another realm. Let's say a person has medical issues. Let's start elsewhere for a second. I don't think the time to raise that is on the first date, second date, third date, fourth date, fifth date. You're going to be dating for a while. Let her get to know you, and then when she understands who you are, go and ask your rabbi what to say and how to say it. I had a friend, a really good guy, who used to have constipation. Okay, he was a nervous guy. Nervous guys very often have bowel issues. So he's about to get engaged with a girl, and he tells her, he sits her down, and he says to her, I have to tell you something very serious. This isn't a joke. I want you to understand the gravity of the situation. I have... I have this very serious condition with my bowel movements, and he scares the wits out of her. And they were about to get engaged, and then after scaring the wits out of her, so she went on a on a binge talking to this doctor and this expert and that expert until we could finally calm her nerves. You know, this guy can live a normal life. Now, why do you have to do that? All you have to do is intelligently indicate to the other side that there is an issue. If the other side wants more details, it's their responsibility to ask for them. There's a way with tact to present an issue. You don't have to come and scare the wits out of the other party. I had another guy, we set up the shidduch, and everything was going great. And he had a condition which 20% of the population has. But he felt he has to tell her. A certain condition which affects the testes, but 20% of the population has it. It's a certain vein that's enlarged. So I said, one out of every five guys she dated had it. So what do you have to go telling her for? And he didn't listen to me. He went out there and told her. What he didn't know is that she had relatives who got married to people who were infertile. So once he's saying there's a problem, her parents right away say, oh, just like that case, no way. So now the whole shidduch is up in the air for nothing. So it happens to be that, I don't know why, but Rav Ozner held in that case that he did have to tell her. But even if you have to tell her, there's an intelligent way to do it. You prepare the medical information, you prepare a doctor she can talk to. There was a girl who was dating another student, and she had a father who had vitiligo. You guys know what that is? Where the skin turns to white patches. The pigment of the skin goes bad, and it's not, no. So the guy, he has patches of different colors on his skin. It's not comfortable to look at. So now sometimes that appears genetically. So the guy's dating her, and suddenly he hears this. What she didn't give him was a doctor. I put him in touch with a doctor who's an expert, Harvard graduate, top expert in dermatology. And he said in all his years of practice, decades of practice, he can't remember a case where he saw two in one family. He said, look, I don't know the statistics of the medical books, but I'm telling you, I deal with it day in, day out. I don't see it. It's not that common. You want to be concerned for it, you could. But I could tell you what I've seen. If this is what I'm dealing with and I don't see it, okay, I don't know. In all honesty, when I looked online, they certainly convinced me that there was a genetic factor in that. But the girl didn't set up her information intelligently. If you set it up right, if you set up good sources, there's a way to set things up. And there's a time to say things. You don't have to say things at the first dates. After the relationship has solidified a little bit, and he sees or she sees all the positive traits that the other party has, and then they take it with the full picture, and they decide, okay, what am I doing with this full picture? Now that I have a broader picture, and I'm aware of these other points, what do I do? There was a girl who dated a guy, great guy, second date, or third date, I don't remember, at some point he tells her he has diabetes. So her parents come in and say, no way, you're not marrying this guy. Forget it. So they veto the dating. Fine, she goes and dates another bunch of guys. And she comes back to her parents and say, none of them come close to this guy. I want to marry this guy. I don't know, I got to date him a little bit more, but this seems right. And she went back, dated him, and married him. But, you know, there's a way to do it. He did it intelligently. He told her after she had an understanding of who he was. So even though she came to the decision, or her parents came to the decision, there's no way you're marrying him, but at least she had a full picture. If he would have said it the first date or second date, it would have never gone anywhere. Like this, she had a picture of who he was, she still broke up, and then a month or two later, she came back and said, no, I want to do this. And they're happily married today. So I'm just saying, if there is a medical issue, if there are issues, so then the time to bring it up is way later in the dating. You also have to remember that girls talk. I had horrible stories. I had girls who I dated who really put knives in my back. I was really hurt by it. It's very striking when a girl is willing to marry you, and then when you say, no, I think we should break up, and she goes and speaks badly about you. If I was such a bad guy, why were you willing to marry me, right? So it's like, that's what struck me. Like, okay, but you know, one of the girls was already married. So what does she have against me? You know, she already built her life. Why does she have to stick a knife at me? What?
You know the cliche, right? I'll have no fury like a wolf.
All right.
Be in the front community, hopefully, but you know, you shouldn't wreck someone else's chances because someone think of it as it's a share, but it wasn't for me, and especially someone who married again says something about her marriage.
I'm just saying, but the point I'm saying is that what you say goes around. It's not like the girl will keep your information private. And that's why you have to think before you share your information with her. And it has to be pretty close to being final, that it makes sense that you're going to end up marrying her. Now, there are two points in this. One is, there's information she'll find out anyways. Like, guys sometimes are uncomfortable saying that they converted, or a guy is sometimes uncomfortable saying that his parents are divorced, or a guy is sometimes uncomfortable saying that he has a history. You have to really think through if that's something which you can keep concealed until the first date. I respect that a guy will want to present it himself, but if she's going to find out anyways, then it sort of ruins your reputation and the Shadchan's reputation if he didn't mention that in advance. So you got to think this through a little bit. You can't just come to the date and say, I'll tell her about A or B or C. If all your references know it, if everyone around you knows it, you're sort of shooting yourself in the foot. You got to use intelligence in this. So that's number one. Number two...
I'm confused. You're saying not say it on the first date?
I'm saying whatever information people don't know is your private information, and you could wait a while before sharing with her. And I think you have to bear in mind that if it's detrimental to you, then postpone sharing that information as much as possible, because you don't have to hurt yourself. In due time, before you get engaged, you'll share it with her, and even then you have to think through how to share it with her, and then she'll make her decision if she wants to continue or not. On the other hand, there's information which you might not be comfortable with, but nonetheless, if she's going to hear about it, then you might want to put it on the table either through the Shadchan or on the first date.
What would be an example of that?
An example of that is sometimes a person has a genetic condition in their family, which everyone knows. There was a guy here who had three siblings who were hearing impaired, and I don't remember what else, and it was genetic. So anyone who did a little research would have known that there's this genetic condition in the family. So how long are you going to postpone telling the girl? You could say, I'll tell her on the third date, the fifth date, but there's a high likelihood that you'll find out before the first date. The only issue is that here in the Datilumi world, unfortunately, many guys and girls don't do any homework, don't do any research. I keep saying this, and people keep on doing their own thing and not listening to me. And almost every month I get another horror story where people say, you know you were right. Okay, I do. But people learn the hard way. Every year there's at least one or two guys who are on the verge of getting engaged and suddenly discover there was a lot of information that was withheld from them. And information that affects their whole lives. The girl can't have kids. So you might not have been able to know that. But if you would have done a little bit of homework, you might have found out that both her sisters got divorced 2 months after they got married. And suddenly you find out, why did two sisters get divorced after 2 months? That sounds a little odd, right? So you do a little bit more homework and suddenly you realize they played the same game too. They didn't tell anyone. But there's a genetic condition there where they don't have a womb, they can't have kids. Okay, I feel bad for them, they have to get married. The question is, do you want to be holding on the eve of engagement only to find that out? So you could say, okay, now I have to consider, do I want to adopt, do I not want to adopt? Fine, you can consider everything. The question is, wouldn't you have rather known before? Now you'll realize I'm saying two opposite things here. On the one hand, I'm saying to protect you, you can wait before you share information. On the other hand, I'm saying to protect you, try to find out as much information as you can before the first date. They're both true. And if I were talking to girls, I'd tell them the same thing.
That kind of a statement that you make, where obviously it happens, and wouldn't be saying it. I mean, with a serious situation, did you know? I mean, to not say something like that, says something about the person.
I just told you that when you have a serious condition, it makes sense to postpone sharing that information.
Yeah,
so I'm not...
If only you know about it, but like right. I say, if it's out there, and postponing is a lot different than never. I mean, if
fine. Agreed, for sure.
And I'm going by what you said, if you think the number one component of a successful marriage is trust, and you're starting out, there's nothing wrong with saying the fifth, sixth, seventh thing, like you're saying, you know, I mean, down the road, because, you know, not everybody has to know, you know, whatever in one's past and different things, and like you said, everyone has some things, and it gets around, but to someone can't have kids or something like that, to not let that be known. I mean, there are people out there, I mean, maybe not many people who had children already or whatever the situation is, and then fine, but to me, that's...
Aviel, I get a story like this every 2 months or every 3 months. Saying about this specific thing. I'm saying women who can't have kids, who do not tell before the marriage. It's very common today because today there are many women that have psychiatric conditions that need certain pills. And when they get off those pills, they can't get pregnant with those pills, and when they get off those pills, then they become imbalanced. So this type of condition has become relatively common.
And you bring something else very important up. Obviously, if someone's on medication because of some sort of a psychiatric condition, to withhold that, also, how can you trust someone like that? Again, you don't have to say it on the...
I think you say it very late, right. Depending on, you know... Here we're working with an understanding that you're going to date 30 dates. If you're going to date 30 dates, then I think you could say it on day 26. You know,
that's a long time.
Right. But I'm saying, I if you're going to tell her about your psychiatric condition, not you necessarily, but saying if a person's going to share his psychiatric condition with a girl, she's going to start, she's not going to keep it to herself. She's going to have to consult with her father, mother, sister, brother. You know, word's going to get around. So you're risking your reputation.
26 dates, by that point, you're seriously, you know, talking marriage, children, where you want to live, I would think. Again, I didn't grow up in this world. Marriage is more from this kind of thing. But the idea that someone would tell me after the 26th date, you know, I got my lithium today or something, you know, I would say, well, you're too late for that. I mean, I understand, you know, I think you're wonderful, this and that, but, you know, there were a lot of people that came through my life that I could have maybe dated, might have been interested, and I might be...
So you just heard it, right. It's good you came to this class, so you won't hold it against her.
I will not, because maybe, you know, 26 is better than after the Mahopa, for sure.
But I'm telling you that if she'd ask me, that's what I would tell her.
You're told to wait 26?
Yeah.
Not like 10, 12?
No.
Okay.
Because she's risking her reputation, and you only invested another 14 dates.
Yeah, and I'm an old guy, I don't know about reputation. I certainly don't talk to other guys about, you know...
That's another thing. Guys, it's not right to come back to the dorm and start talking about girls. I still have a guy who I think that there's a girl that really matches for him. But his roommate dated her, and he came back and said, you know, I really don't think she's intelligent enough. And he sat down and explained to him why he thought she wasn't intelligent enough. And then he went and broke up with that girl. Now, she really matches for his friend. His friend really is much less intelligent than him. But once he said that, his friend is not going to take, you know, his scrap. And his friend is still single and the girl is still single. But nothing I can say or anyone else can say can convince him to date the girl. Because I'm going to date a dunce. She's not a dunce. And she actually matches for him. A lot of people think that. He's not willing to date her. So his friend is kicking himself. Why did I come back and tell him about the girl I dated? Hey, you're not doing anyone a favor. It's not right. It's no one's business what you think about a girl. Girls shouldn't be kept on scorecards. It's not your friend's business. You want to discuss it with the teacher. You want to discuss it with someone who you feel has experience. That makes sense. You want to discuss it with your buddies. That's not right. You got to honor the girl's reputation too. And it doesn't matter what you think of the girl. I had a really good friend who set me up with the lousiest date of my life. I told you some of the horror stories from that date. She made fun of me on the first phone call, and she told me, you know, I feel like a giant next to you, shorty, when I'm on the sidewalk and you're on the street. Why don't you just come up on the sidewalk next to me? I mean, a whole bunch of nasty lines, and I never told him. The guy set me up. I wasn't so interested in other dates he set me up. I never told him, you know, she's like a really not nice person. Didn't say that. So he set me up, and he asked me, hey, why didn't it work? So I said, you know, we just didn't click. Just that's not it. Our personalities don't go. Okay, but I'm just saying, I don't see any reason to talk about a girl, even with a friend like that.
If a friend calls you up and they find that you've gone out with so-and-so and they ask you, and they're currently going on this one, they ask you questions, is there a limitation to what you can tell?
Yes, I think that the rules of Lashon Hara define that if a friend calls you up and asks you about a girl that you dated, mm-hmm. what you're supposed to say is factual, not opinionated.
Right.
Factual. And if it remains factual, you haven't hurt anyone. If you say, I didn't find her to be too pleasant, that's opinionated. If you say, I didn't find her to be too bright, that's opinionated. If you say, you know, she didn't finish high school, and I wasn't sure exactly where she was holding as far as her aspirations and her achievements and things like that. So then you took a fact and you shared it with him. Now he has to figure out what to do with it. So you have to be careful. I had a date. I was set up with a girl, and I was supposed to go out with her, and 10 minutes before the date, someone taps me on the shoulder and says, you know, I heard you agreed to go out with so-and-so. So I was a little disturbed. Why are people talking about who I agreed to go out with? Why is that anyone's business? So I was shocked, but I said, why does it matter? And he says to me, look, I don't know if you gave a positive answer yet, but I dated this girl, as did other guys in the yeshiva, and I just wanted to tell you that, you know, they're on a scale of 1 to 10 with looks, with 10 being the best and 1 being the worst. So, you know, you have to be a real tzaddik to date a girl like this. I don't want to hurt her feelings. I don't want a situation where another guy goes out with her and another guy dumps her again. You know, if you tell me you don't care about looks, so go out with her. But if you do care about looks, then I'm not really sure that it's fair to do this to the girl again. I was going out with her 10 minutes later. It was too late to say anything, but I thought I'm going to see Medusa. You know, I was walking down the street thinking, oh boy, okay, I wasn't ready for that one. One of the finer looking girls I dated. Nothing, you know, nothing. I couldn't understand what he wanted from my life. I dated her to the point where it didn't take off, but I thought she was a fine girl. I had no issue with her looks. I had no issue with anything. I thought she was a fantastic girl. Really, there was nothing. But he obviously felt there was something very serious. But that was his opinion. But he didn't discern between his opinion and facts, to the point where he approached me. I didn't even ask him. And I think that was very wrong. And it's not right to take an opinion. And that's where it becomes Lashon Hara. And that's in general in references. You want to say opinions? Say positive opinions. Anything else shouldn't be used in a reference. Going back to the other question. So what do you do if you have tattoos and you're uncomfortable? I think that telling a girl that you have tattoos is something that can wait a long time. Meaning it's not like, what difference does it make? We had a guy here who had his whole body covered with tattoos. He always wore long shirts, but he had tattoos literally from his wrist, crossed his chest, down to his other wrist, down to his waist, front and back. And it had Tibetan prayers and anything you can imagine, every color under the sun. What?
Gior, you were talking about in the last series, right?
Could be.
We had a guy here a month ago with the Shema right out of his neck.
Yeah, could be. Right.
That's hard to
good kidding. Okay.
English. Anyway.
Look, a person doesn't have to take it off, and a girl knows she's dating someone who didn't understand and know about mitzvot beforehand, and that's like, he came to an understanding with his wife before he got married that around the house he wouldn't take off his shirt. The kids wouldn't grow up seeing it as a normal thing, meaning they didn't want their kids to view it as a norm that Abba walks around with huge tattoos and everyone, you know. No, people don't have huge tattoos. So he, in the Machon, he always wore long sleeve shirts, meaning he realized that he hadn't known earlier. Say there, you're talking about a guy who invested $25,000 to $50,000 in this, you know, over years to tattoo his whole body. I mean, it's not cheap. Okay, so yeah, there will be the girl who says, "I'm not willing to go with this," and that's her prerogative. Fine. And there will be many girls who say, "I understand. Obviously, you know, if you go to the mikveh here, go to the mikveh here the second time, like exactly Nate's. I'm the guy who does that because." Then it's when the mikvahs are empty. I'm not interested. And suddenly I discover there are a bunch of other people who do that too. Because Nates is the time where the people who woke up really early, they went to mikvah before Nates so they could daven Nates. The people who just got up are going to daven Nates and then go to the mikvah. There's very few people who are going to come exactly at Nates at sunrise and dunk. You might as well be davening. That's the ideal time to daven. Who comes at that time? The chozrim b'tshuva who have tattoos and don't want anyone to see it. So how did I discover this? Because I don't, you know, if I'm up, I go Nate's. So there are many times. And it's clean, right. No one's there. So I come Nate's, and I see these huge beards, payas, you know, people who I daven next to, chassidim for years, and tattoos all over. You know, I didn't know my next door neighbor had scorpions all over his back till I met him at the mikvah. Didn't know. You know, so there are a lot of people out there who have it. And there are a lot of girls who say, fine. I'll tell you a secret. There are a lot of girls who have it too. Seder, it's pretty much, you know, unfortunately, that's the world we live in.
When do you break it?
What?
When do you break it for them?
So I think that it can
like
be...
26?
Yeah, I don't see why it has to be earlier.
What if you surprise them?
What do you mean? You show up on a date and you just pull up your arm and say...
I mean like you just let them find out when they find out, whether it's before getting married or after.
No, I don't think that's right. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair to conceal it till marriage.
What if it's like a Magen David, small, not you know, in like a place that you normally cover, and then like okay, so one day it happens to just come up.
I think that a girl would feel like you kept it concealed from her, and I think I could understand her if she resented that, and so I think that. With that in mind, the more proper thing is to find a way to share it with her. And I think there's a way to say it that's like not, you don't have to go into all the details. I think there are ways of leading the conversation so that you don't have to go into all the details. One of the things you can ask her is, how much does she feel a chozer b'tshuva has to share about his past? I'm saying, you can discuss that too when you hit day 24, 25, 26. You know, you're going to tell her, I really don't think that it's a good idea to go into all the details of my past. You really want to know how many times I ate at Burger King, and did I eat lobster, and did I eat scorpion, and did I eat snake, and did I eat a tequila? Is that what you want to know? I wouldn't even tell her all that. If she's an FFB, you don't want to scare the wits at her. Meaning, part of what really happens when a from birth dates a chozer b'tshuva is that they don't understand. There's a certain... they don't even understand the distance between an Orthodox life and a non-observant life. They don't know. Meaning, if you're going to start telling them, I ate shrimp and pig, they're going to fall off their seat. Now you tell yourself, wait a second, what are you thinking? I didn't keep Torah mitzvos. Like one guy told me, I didn't know I was Jewish till 25. So why wouldn't I eat bacon? Like, he's right. But his wife never thought about it. Or another guy told me, I was becoming stronger in my Judaism, so I stopped eating bacon, and it was so tough, I had to stick to shrimp alone. You know, okay. Say that, true story, guy sitting here. So, but the girls that dated these guys, they don't think of that. Meaning, I'm not sure you're doing yourself a favor if you start delineating what irreligious life was like. A frum girl, if you end up dating a frum girl, so to her mind, she knows Judaism, she knows life the way she knows it. And there's, you know, she can imagine that you turned on lights on Shabbos. She doesn't think you went to the movies, bought popcorn, had a girlfriend, and who knows what else was going on as you were watching those movies, etc. That's not in her concept. And it's not a good idea to go down that road unnecessarily. So I would stay away from specifics. So you just, you know, if you're dating a from birth girls, and then it's like, believe me, it's not the life we want to lead. It's we're moving on from that. And by the way, taking this point one step further, I also recommend, when possible, if you get married to a from birth girl, and then you want to go visit your parents, your family, and they don't keep Shabbos, they don't keep kosher, she won't know what to do with it. So the intelligent way to do it is to go to the Chabad house, to go to someone who is Orthodox, stay there, and visit them. Meet them at the park, take them out to the restaurant. Do things in a way that's less abstruse. There's no reason she should suddenly have to contend with all of it. You know, we had a girl who grew up in a from birth house, married a guy, and she comes to his house and she sees crosses all over the house. Now, you know, they have a Christmas tree and a Hanukkah bush and whatever, you know. She doesn't know what to do with that. You have to understand, a girl coming from Israel walks and sees that. She was ready to faint. She didn't know what am I supposed to do here? So, you have to understand, if you have if that's the girl that you married, so then you don't have to shock her. You have to find ways to do it that will be positive. And you should try to bring your parents and family to your home turf. And you got to tell them, this is a question I get every few months. If my mother wants to come, but she likes to wear a necklace that has a Magen David with a cross in the middle, can she come into my house with that? And I say, it's not only a question of can she come into your house with it, it's a question of how's your wife going to look at it? But how do I tell my mother not to come with that? Well, tell her that where you live, people aren't used to that. You know, that shouldn't be there. She has, get her a new necklace, which has only Magen David, you know. Figure something out. But this is a long class. I mean, this is a separate class that needs discussion. How do you bring up kids with parents who are irreligious or have chosen to adopt a different religion or are agnostic and just do whatever they want? But I'm just saying, if we've already touched on the subject, so then you have to realize that if you're dating a FFB, a from birth girl, then she doesn't usually understand what irreligious life is like, and it's not a good idea to explain it to her in such great detail.
What if she is a FFB, but her parents are Israel Shiva?
She still doesn't understand.
So then what is it for if you're having kids who are born in your house in Israel Shiva?
To be discussed, but not here. We have only 35 minutes left, and we have to cover all of dating. We haven't even discussed how you choose the right one. Yeah.
What if? My cousin had a tattoo, and she got it removed, and she never told her husband about it. You think that's an issue?
No. Because once it's removed, it's history. Gamarnu. You have to find out what's halachically permissible as far as removal of tattoo. What? I think it's always a problem when people keep secrets from one another. It's not a good way to go about things, but I don't think it's the end of the world. You just say, what's the big deal? It's gone. I did a stupid thing. I got rid of it. Finished. You know, if a person takes a weird haircut, if a girl makes herself a mohawk and then colors it purple, but then, she outgrows it. Does she really have to go into all the details of the stupidities of her youth? I don't see why she should.
So what's say, like, I mean, it's an exaggerated situation, but let's say, like, you decide to join the mafia at a young age, and then, like, you leave, and now you're a firm, should you, like, maybe tell them about that?
Why? Why is that important? You just say, I had ups and downs, and I have a colorful history, and Gamarnu, why does it matter if part of your history was you were with a gang, part of your history was you were doing drugs, and part of your history was you were from? If you're balanced and from, you're moving forward. If she, you know, it's a fine line. You can't erase huge segments of your life. But you don't have to go into every little stupidity that a person did in their youth. There's a balance there. You can't say, I spent 10 years in the mafia and I'm just going to leave that out. You know, but you could say, as a teenager, I did have my years where I was doing stupid things, and I don't think we have to go into all the details of the stupid things I did. So yeah, maybe a guy was selling drugs for a year. It's a horrible thing. But if it's part of a broader picture, I did stupid things as a teenager, I'm not sure we have to go into every detail. I'm not sure that's so important. Again, there's a difference between a large segment of life and a stupid short segment of life. There's a difference. I think there's also a difference between a guy who has an addiction and a guy who did a wrong thing for a period in his life.
Let's say you want to find someone who is like, let's say you want to specifically find someone who's also like Chazir v'Tshuva and like had similar experiences to you. Like, let's say that's part of your criteria.
So let's get back to that in 1 minute, okay? Yes, Yoel.
Yeah, well, once a comment, and that's that, like in California, there's billboards for places that will do tattoo removal. So that can take care of that problem.
Do you know how painful that is?
It's very painful and very expensive.
It also depends which.
Yeah. No, it is worse. It is worse. It's very.
Are you guys aware that there is that possibility? Anybody listening, there's that possibility.
Right, I was told there's a gemach for removal of tattoos because it's very expensive. I was told there's some kind of gemach that will remove a tattoo for you. Aside from the pain, it's also expensive. You also have to know there are two ways to remove tattoos. One, I'm unclear about whether it's permissible or not. That's basically they inject a new dye of skin color. I'm not clear whether that's permissible or not. Just you guys find out or call me and I'll try to look into it. And the other is with laser, that they really clean it out, if I understood correctly. Yeah.
The other thing is you mentioned that in the tattoo looming,
a lot of people.
So, like, what communities would they do a lot of research?
The more, or, you know, the what's called the Haredi communities and the Hasidic community, the Haredi, yeah. Yeah. I think in the Dati Lumi community, you have a lot of people who have stronger roots, who value their family structure more, and there they will do a lot of research. Meaning, I think there's a difference between people who the parents are like, you know, they're what they call today dati light. They met in Bnei Akiva and they, you know, they go to movies and they do all kinds of things. And then you have people who are from the stronger segment, if we'll call it that, of the dati lumi world, where they have strong roots. And they have a family structure that's been stable for years, and they know where they're coming from, they know where they're going to, and there you will more often find that they're not going to let their daughter date a guy without doing a lot of research to find out who he is. It's usually more when a person comes from a more open society where he and his wife were fooling around as boys and girls in Bnei Akiva and as teenagers, so then they say, what am I going to go looking into every guy? No one looked into the girls for me. I was dating any girl, you know. So then they let their daughters do the same. They let their sons do the same. But when you're talking about people who have a stronger Torah knowledge and were more observant, and it's been that way for generations, so then the parents say, who would let their daughter go out without looking into the guy? What do I know who she's going out with? And I have horror stories about that too, but we don't have time.
Well, is it sort of weird that sometimes... Well, at least I've met people that are from, let's say, a religious background, but then they don't really tell their parents about who they're dating or whatever, or anything about.
Should you tell your parents?
Okay.
Well, this is for a woman.
So let's.
It's as far as the closest to the family.
Yeah.
As far as sharing with parents what's going on in the dating, so I think, firstly, we have to discern between different ages. Meaning, I think a person dating at 19, 20, 21, when they're still living at home, is different than a person dating at 30, 35, 40. I think that you reach an age where, if you're sharing it with your parents, it should be out of self-confidence and not because they're your parents, but more because you have a good relationship. I think that as a person grows, so they move out of the house. And then it's less likely they're going to share it with their parents. On the other hand, very often parents can give good insights. Sometimes people are reluctant to talk to their parents because they have different backgrounds or they have different viewpoints. Sometimes that's legitimate and sometimes not.
I don't think it's the case.
If I'm saying so.
You're allowed to lie to your parents, or be true, like.
Let's go one step at a time. so I think a person should first think if it's possible to glean from their parents' wisdom. Your parents do look out for you and they do care for you. Sometimes they're wrong. I told you guys, I think, the story about a guy who dated a girl and everything was great and they wanted to get engaged and the parents said, she's not beautiful enough for you. Come on, the guy thinks she's great. Why do you have to decide if she's nice, you know, nice looking or not? It's his call, but they didn't respect that. Now, if you have parents who really overstep their bounds in such ways, so then they have to be left out of the picture. Sometimes you have parents who say, no way you should date a girl like that. What do you mean? You're going to sign yourself into orthodoxy? You want a girl that's going to ask you whether you ate kosher today or not? You want a girl that's going to make a blessing before she puts a piece of food in her mouth? Come on. I know you went on this year-long, two-year-long extremist visit to Machon Meir, but you're going to leave that cult and you're going to come back to normal life. You're going to be like the rest of us and join us to Burger King. And come on. You're going to get married and lock yourself into that life? Don't let them do that to you. Don't tell me your wife's going to be one of those women that cover her hair now. You know, and she's also going to be one of those people that don't answer the cell phones on Shabbos. So if your parents are holding on to their perspective and they're not willing to share with you where you are in life, and their attitude is always, you got to come back to our way of doing things, well then in that case, unfortunately, you don't have that advantage. It's not possible to work with them. It's unfortunate because sometimes parents are open-minded enough to respect their children's decision, and then even though they have a different perspective. Now, we had parents who weren't Jewish. We had guys here whose parents were not Jewish. And I called them up and I said, I want you down here. We had a guy here whose father was a multimillionaire. And I felt like the guy had to get engaged within a week or two. And I felt like he was doing shtuyot. He wasn't going to get engaged. I called up the father. It was the end of the year tax season. And the father tells me, you don't understand. I'm working day and night. I said, I do understand. And I understand that it's going to cost you many more millions if your son messes up his life. I want you down here. I want you to get on a plane and be here before the weekend. You're spending the weekend with your son, talking to him about what's going on in life. Now, the father wasn't Jewish. The man wasn't a Jew. The son was here, Jewish, learning, studying. But I felt like the father was intelligent, warm, caring, understanding, respectful. So you could talk to the man. So I worked with him. I said, I'm not going to tell your son who to marry, but I feel like he's not marrying the girl for stupid reasons. I want him to think it through with you. I want you here. I want you talking to him. The guy got on a plane, spent the weekend here, and then flew back. Okay. So and his son married the girl. And I'm telling you, the guy wasn't even Jewish. So what? I'm saying if a parent can be respectful and they can work with the son and work off of the son's perspective, so why not take their counsel? I don't think there's a blanket rule. Now, sometimes parents will try to intervene. So what was the date like? And what was the girl like? And what did you guys discuss? And where did you take her out to? And what was her hair like? And did she do her hair this way or that way? And what dress did she wear? And where do you guys plan on living? Where does she want to send her kids to school? And what are her parents like? And what does she like to eat? And you're sitting there and like, come on. I can't give you all that information. And I have to date the girl. You don't have to date the girl. And I have to make the decision. You don't have to make the decision. And in such circumstances, I believe that there is an intelligent way to do this. You don't tell the parents when you're dating a girl. You tell the parents after you dated a girl. Meaning, if you dated a girl and you decided it wasn't it, so you call them up afterwards and you tell them, ooh, I met this interesting girl, but there's point A and B and C that I'm uncertain if it matches. And then they go on, and then you've already ended it. Meaning, talk to them after you've made your decisions. Always keep them a few steps behind, if it's possible. Sometimes it's not possible. If that's not possible, so then you have to leave them in the dark. But then you have to have someone else to consult with. Every few months, I see this, people make the stupidest mistakes in dating. I told you guys about the guy who was like 30-something, divorced with two or three kids. Right, he calls me up, he tells me exactly what he's looking for, and we set him up, and he goes out on his first date. After the first date, right, you see? I did tell you the story. Okay, we speak, and he says, this is exactly the girl I'm looking for. So I say, so you're continuing? And he says, no, we're breaking up. I said, why are you breaking up? He says, she has an American accent. How could I marry a girl with an American accent? Divorced three kids, he's 30-something. Come on, what kind of girl, you know? This is the girl of his dreams. This is perfect, but an American accent. Come on. Okay, he's serious. You know, we all laugh, but everyone has stupid points. I've seen so many people over stupidities break up their excellent shidduchim. I see this so much that today, before I'll offer a person a shidduch, I ask, who do you have to consult with? Who will you consult with on this shidduch? People make really stupid mistakes and they end up shooting themselves in the foot. So if you're not going to talk to your parents, talk to someone else. After the first date, so at the end of the first date, you're going to ask the girl, when's a good time to call you back? You don't have to tell her at the end of the date if you plan on continuing or not. If you want to get her excited, if you want her to feel positive about it, and you've decided in your mind that you're interested, so what you could do is at the end of the first date, you tell her, look, I know you need time to think. I'll call you up, tell me when's a good time, but I can tell you from my end, I would be happy to meet again. Now, what you've gained then is that, A, she feels very positive, because she walks away from the date like on cloud number 9. This guy's really excited over me. You've gained another thing, which is that when we try to think of our relationship with someone else, there's a rule. King Solomon said, "Kamayim apanim lapanim ken lev adam la'adam." Just as you see your reflection in water, that's the way you see your reflection when you talk to someone. We tend to reflect what we perceive the other one thinks of us. Very often, you could walk into a room with a scowl on your face. You're not upset at the other person. You're thinking of something else. That's why you have a scowl on your face. And the other person gets apprehensive because they feel like you're upset at them and they're reflecting the emotion they see. So when a girl walks away from the date and you leave her in the dark, she's uncertain about where you're holding. She doesn't know what to think and where to lead her feelings. If you ended the date and ended on a positive note, you said, look, I'll call you. Don't force her to give you an answer on the spot. On the contrary, make it clear you're not expecting an answer on the spot. Tell her, I'll give you a call tomorrow, think it over, but you should know, from my end, I would be very happy to date again. You've given her the positive feeling, you've given her the positive feedback, it's up to her to think about it. You'll call her tomorrow. It is important you call back the next day. I see this over and over again. I don't understand it. I have a hard time respecting it. But I've seen numerous times where guys feel that if it's a no-go after the first date, what do I have to bother calling her back for? And I can tell you, I had a guy who was a ben bayit in our house. For 2 years, he was by us very often for Shabbos meals and stuff. And when the time came for him to start going out, I set him up. And he did this to a girl. And I haven't set him up since. I feel it's so inhumane that even though this guy, he ate by our house, he was biased. I remember Tisha B'Av, he'd prepare for Tisha B'Av the meal beforehand bias and after bias. Doesn't matter. If he can't understand, and when I explain it to him, he still can't understand, that when you end a date, the girl is standing there not knowing what to do with herself. You know, she's in no man's land. Is he interested? Isn't he interested? You have to pick up that phone and be a man and say, if you think it's not, you don't fit, tell her. And if you don't tell her, so that's just inhumane, that's cruel. What's she supposed to do now? So I don't know why I see guys making this mistake over and over again. Like I said to a guy last week, I call him up, they dated the girl 3-4 days ago. I say, are you interested in continuing? He says, I'm not sure. I said, okay, because she thought it was a good date. She thought it has potential. He says, yeah, I don't. I said, oh, so you're sure. So he says, well, pretty sure. I said, okay, well, you know, when you're pretty sure, it's a good idea to go out on another date and see, especially if the other side thinks positive. So he says, no, it's not it. So okay, I tried discussing it with him. It's not it. I said, are you going to call her? So he said, why should I? I don't know. I was shocked by the answer. But being that I got that answer again last week, so I decided you guys have to hear it again. Yes, the girl has to be told. If you're not interested, either call up the shadchan and ask him to tell the girl. In the Datilumi world, where communication is usually direct, then the respectful thing is to call up the girl and break up with her. How do you break up with a girl? 1 second, we'll get to you. You call her up, and after exchanging pleasantries for about 10 seconds, hi, how's everything doing? Thank you for a very nice date. You tell her, look, I really enjoyed getting to know you, and I really had a good time on the date. I think we don't match. Now, a girl will sometimes corner you and ask, why? And you have no right to answer. It's not right, because usually any answer you're going to give her is going to be offensive to her. Now, I know guys get upset about this. You have to beat around the bush. I don't think we match. You cannot tell her, you know, I think you're annoying. I think you're nasal in the way you talk and it gets on my nerves. I think that you're condescending in your approach to people. I think you're arrogant. And I think that you could use a class in midos. No, none of that should be said.
So we actually have no right. It's not just that we have no obligation.
No, you have no right. You have no right.
She'll be vindictive to you.
Doesn't matter if her friends want to go out with you. Right. You know,
doesn't matter. You have no right. What right do you have to tell a person? You have to tell a person, I don't think we match. I don't think the chemistry went. Now, it gets more difficult after 20 dates when a girl says, why not? So then you have to try and find things within the conversation where you both saw you differed. You know, our perspective on where we'd live. It's our perspective. It's not that you said we'll live in the north and I said we'll live in the south. Our perspectives differ. So you have to beat around the bush. If you come down to specifics, you're hurting her feelings. Now, girls and guys get very upset at this because both sides say, why didn't they tell me specifics? How could I know how to get better? You don't have to get better. You want to improve yourself? Go to a shrink. Go to a rabbi. Go to a musashir. A girl's not supposed to tell you. And I've seen many guys and girls who were scathed for life from breaking up where the other side thought that it was their mitzvah, their permission to tell the other party what they thought of them. That's not right. You have no right to do it. Your job is to say, I don't think we match. If you really thought positively of the girl, you could tell her, you know, in Orthodox Judaism, we don't maintain a relationship with a female unless it's for the point of marriage. But otherwise, you should just realize that I value you and what you've said in our relationship so much that I would be happy to continue this relationship. I've just come to the realization that I do not see us as being compatible for marriage as much as I see our relationship does have potential as friends. In Orthodox Judaism, we don't do that, so I don't have that option, but I definitely did value the relationship as we developed it. I don't say to say that unless it's true, but if it's true, it's legitimate to say that I think that your goal should be that when you break up with a girl, she should walk away feeling positive about herself and not hurt. Yes, she might feel hurt. Yes, she might cry. But your words should at least reflect that you value the person you dated. After one date, you're not going to have that much to say. After 3 dates, after 5 dates, after 7 dates, after 10 dates, the more the dates, the more you should have to say that's positive about the girl. I personally tried to ask every girl I dated when we broke up, I tried to ask her if I hurt her feelings, that I apologize. I said, I don't plan on calling you Erev Rosh Hashanah to ask your forgiveness, so I'm going to ask you right now, if I did anything that hurt your feelings, I apologize. I didn't do it intentionally. You should know that it usually does happen. You usually do end up hurting girls' feelings unintentionally. Meaning that there are misunderstandings, and sometimes a girl's expecting a phone call and you didn't understand that, and sometimes you don't realize there are certain social norms that you transgressed. You just don't realize it.
But I understand that you might be at fault for things like that, but then if she holds it against you, she's at fault too, no?
Okay, I prefer to apologize. Sometimes a girl sheds so many tears when you break up with her that you keep asking yourself, maybe I should have done it differently. Till today, there are girls I'd be happy to call up and apologize again to. That I just felt very bad. I saw when we broke up that maybe I should have figured out another way to do it. I don't know. Sometimes a girl cries, and sometimes you walk away and you feel bad about it. So I always apologize, but you know, an apology doesn't carry enough weight. Yeah. Okay, I think part of being modest people is that I don't go calling up a girl and say, hey, you know, we dated a year ago, 2 years ago. And I was just I was wondering if I hurt your feelings. I want to apologize again. It's not, you know, but still, we should try. We should make every attempt to end up on a positive note. And very often, every time I'd end up with a girl, I'd come back to yeshiva and look around and see maybe there's a guy I know who's right for her. And I expect the girls to do the same. And if a girl calls you up and says, hey, you might not remember me, we dated, but I have a friend who I thought is fit for you, I recommend you go on that date. Very often those are the best dates. Very often a girl that dated you can really catch on to who to set you up with. Don't nix it and say, ah, what does she know? Look into it. See if it's worthwhile. Okay, yeah.
What if you know at the end of the first date that it's not a good match? Can you tell her then?
I would not tell her on the date. I would tell her, let's talk tomorrow. I have to think about it. By saying I have to think about it, you've already given her a warning sign. No, I would not tell her on the date because, A, it's legitimate to say it by phone. So why put her to the point where she might shed a tear and it's uncomfortable for her to do it in front of you? Let her have the privacy of her own home. And B, why not give her that fair warning? So you're preparing her emotionally for it. I once dated a girl, and after numerous dates, I came to the conclusion that it wasn't it. And it was Erev Shabbos, which was an Erev Yom Tov. So, I guess it was a Friday. Either a Thursday or a Friday. And then you had Shabbos, and then Yom Tov back to back. And I couldn't decide, should I tell her before Shabbos or after Shabbos? I don't want to ruin her Shabbos, right? So I called one of my rabbeim, and he said, no, you have to tell her as soon as you know, because she might have a better offer waiting. So you can't hold her to you just because you don't want to hurt her feelings. Okay, the next question was, do I break up face-to-face, or do I break up by phone? We'd already dated 5 or 7 dates, and it really seemed positive. So I called up a bunch of girls, my cousin and my aunt, and every female in my family who I could think of, the Shadchanit who set me up with someone once, and I asked, what's the norm? What's the right thing to do? After 7 dates, should you break up face-to-face or should you break up by phone? So it ended up being like 3 against 2. 3 said, no, you got to do it face-to-face. It's disrespectful doing it by phone. And 2 said, what are you wasting your time for? If you can tell her no, do it by phone. I didn't know what to do, but you know, I went with the majority opinion. I respected the 3. I went with them. So we come on the date, and after 10 or 15 minutes on the date, I tell her, look, I've been thinking about it, and I just want to mention something. What usually happens in these things, and it happened this time too, is that the best date were those 10 minutes. You know, and none of the 7 dates came close to those 10 minutes. Why? Because I was free. It was over, you know. So if I'm free, then we could just talk. But I knew it wasn't it. So I told her that. And I said, look, I really don't think we match. And she started crying, like she was so upset. She said to me, you brought me down for this? I have tests, I have Shabbos, I have Yom Tov. I had to stop my life, shower, do my hair, get all dressed up, and come out here for you to tell me no? Why couldn't you do that by phone? So I felt really bad. And she says, Erev Yom Tov too? I said, look, I didn't do this haphazardly. I did a lot of homework. I called all the women I could. And the consensus, you know, the majority said that it's disrespectful to you to do it by phone. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I didn't, you know, I did try. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Had I known you would have preferred by phone, I would have done it by phone. I really felt bad. That's one of the girls that I'm saying, if I could apologize again to, I'd go and apologize a second time. Just, you know, I felt bad. And I said to her, you know, and the fact that I did it at Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, I asked about that too. And I just figured, if I realize this isn't it, maybe your husband's around the corner. She dated her husband a few days later. It happened like that. You know, 2 months later, she was engaged. 2 months, 3 months, I don't remember exactly. But so if you're going to break up, you should. You should do it as soon as you know, but not on the date, you know. There's no reason at the end of the first date. Nothing will happen if you wait till tomorrow morning. You ask her, what time could I call you tomorrow? And then you call her up and you ask her, can we talk? Now is a convenient time. And you tell her, look, I thought it over and I think we don't match. You don't have to make a big spiel out of it if it's only one date. You know, thank you for a pleasant date. I really enjoyed it. And I'll keep thinking if I know of any friends that I think can match. I'll be in touch. You know, you don't have to make a big spiel out of it. I do think you should be complimentary. Don't forget, many guys say no after a first date, and so girls feel like they're worth 2 cents. They feel like guys take it so easily to say a no after one date. And girls usually take more time to think about it, and they're in the right. Guys are too quick to say no. And whenever you're going to say no after one date, there's a certain hurt to that. Like, I'm not even worth a second date. That's not really what you're saying. What you're saying is you might be the most valuable person in the world, but I don't think we match. And that's an important point. People sometimes think of dating as, what do I think of you? That's not the question. The question is, what do I think of us? I might think the world of you. I dated a girl once that I felt so little next to her. I had a few girls like that. I felt they were so much smarter than me. I just felt like I wouldn't be able to compete. So I didn't feel like I could marry them. You know, I can't date a person who I feel like is going to talk to me like a dunce. You know, they're going to talk to me like, yeah. I told you guys the story, right, with the license plate? One girl, we were on the date. We're going in the parking lot to the hotel where we were going to buy a drink, and we see a car that left their light on. So I pull out pen and paper to write down the license plate, and she says, what do you need a pen and paper for? I said, there's a license plate there. So she says, use your head. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'll write and you use your head. We'll get to the counter. Let's see. We get to the counter, and she rattles off the numbers. I'm like, okay, she used her head. You know, so she's this brilliant girl. And that's the way the whole date went. So then, you know, I called her the next day. I said, you know, I can't. I don't have that kind of head. I don't have that kind of memory. Throughout the conversation, our IQ difference is too high. I can't marry someone who I'm going to feel like so little next to. It's not going to work for me.
How are you supposed to get engaged?
How? What do you mean?
How are you supposed to, like, say you decide that you know that you're dating a girl for long enough and you want to be married and you just need to, like, what's the Jewish way to do that?
I think we skipped a few steps. So let's move forward with the dating. So after date one, you're going to decide if it's right. You'll call her up and tell her you're interested. Sometimes if you're really interested, then you could try to be a little persuasive when you call her. I know two instances like that, where the girl went out with the guy and she didn't think too much of him, but the guy called back. Like one guy told me, when you meet the right one, you hold on to her and don't let go. You make sure that it works out. And he told me he dated the girl, and after the first date, she thought he was a little obnoxious. She didn't really think this was going to go anywhere. So he called her up after the first date, and when he hears in her voice that she's not so interested, he tells her, look, you won't believe what happened today. I went by a store, and I got the most amazing sweater. I never saw such a beautiful sweater. Can I just come by and pick you up? I want to show you the sweater. And I'm on my way to... And he picks her up and he takes her kayaking, and on the second date he hit it off. But you know what? He's a salesman by business and he did it really well. She didn't know how to get out of it. He said, I just want to show you this fantastic sweater. They're married. They're grandparents already today. You know, I knew him when his kids were little, but by now they're grandparents. And this is his story and her story. You know, they both told me the story. She didn't think, you know, he got on her nerves the first date, but he saw something special in her. He didn't let go. Figured out a way to make it happen. And I similar story. Another guy, he just went on and on the phone, and she didn't know how to stop him. You know, and by then he said, you know, I got to run. I'll see you tomorrow. Okay, so I don't recommend doing that tactic. But I do recommend, if you find someone who you think is worthwhile, find a way to make it happen. You know, try to move it forward. So you go on date 2 and date 3 and date 4, and I recommend on date 3 and date 5 that you stop and you pause and have an evaluation of where things are holding. Very often one side gets super excited and the other side is about to break up. So it's very important that every 3 dates... So on date number 3, date number 5, and then every 3 dates, you pause and you say, okay, I want us to evaluate where things are holding. Sometimes you can forewarn her that you're going to do that on the date to allow her to prepare her thoughts. Be a gentleman. You speak first. And when you speak, it's important to be very complimentary. It's very important to say a lot of positive things that you've seen about her and about your dates. And then you can work off of that and hear where you feel you match and where you still feel like you have to look into it. Sometimes a girl won't be talking at all. Sometimes a girl will be very quiet. And you can say, look, the dates have been fun. I feel like I haven't gotten to know you too much. I don't feel like our conversations are taking off enough. And I feel like you're a little holding back. I'm wondering if there's a way in which you'll be more comfortable to talk. Meaning you could tackle things head on. And sometimes you have to tackle things head on. And that has a lot of potential. I've seen people get married, but they resolved issues through these types of conversation where you come in, you're not offensive, but you are saying, I value what I see. I feel like there's more I have to understand and we have to cross hurdle A, B, and C. Sometimes a guy's dating a girl and she's uncertain, will I cover my hair or won't I? So I always ask, where's that coming from? The question of covering her hair or not, to me, is less important than the question of why is that a consideration of hers? How does she decide which halachot she keeps and which she doesn't? How do you make your decisions? Meaning, I think one of the major questions that have to be addressed during the dating is that question. What formula do you use in deciding how you keep halacha, how you observe Torah? You know, some opinions say you could use a Shabbos clock, others say you don't. Are you going to do all your cooking with a Shabbos clock? Are you going to keep the dishwasher on with a Shabbos clock on Shabbos? Are you going to send your kids to co-ed school? Are you going to send your kids to co-ed youth groups like Bnei Akiva? Where do you foresee yourself and how do you come to those decisions? Those are important questions. As you date, you have to discuss, where do you foresee bringing up the kids? What are your goals? What are the ideals you want to give over to your kids? As far as yourself, what are your values? What are your priorities, as we discussed, right? We discussed the two people climbing a mountain. We didn't discuss that yet? No. So we will have to continue with two people climbing a mountain. I guess on Thursday night. You guys want to